All right. Well, good evening. Welcome, everybody. It is good to see you. And I will not tarry on, but we'll just to run you down on what we're doing tonight. In addition to Brother Van Horn's preaching, we're going to go ahead and have our prayer meeting at the end. So stick around for that. And we will get into that after the preaching. But if you don't know, Brother Van Horn and his wife Paula have been in town helping with Grace Baptist Church, Pastor Brad Nelson and company, and Seeds of Grace Transport, and all of the things that go on with our sister church down there in Lee's Summit. And we're excited about the ministry there. They put together, it was 5,000 whole Bibles this year, Spanish. That was for your ministry, was it not? Part of it? Okay. Okay, great. Praise the Lord. And then I guess the others will go to Oaxaca, probably with Joe Hendricksman is my guess. And then they did John and Romans on top of that. And so, bless you. I know many of you are part this morning in my real life ABF. We had several in our class that were part of the project, and I had every intention of getting down there yesterday, but I got delayed. But it was so good. And this morning, Brad Nelson, Pastor Brad, sent me a text and thanked us for partnering with them, and was saying just how thankful he was. So just want to pass that on and let you know it does make a difference. So praise the Lord. So we're rejoicing, we're celebrating, and part of the benefits of having Pastor Brad bring in the Van Horns is the fact that we get him on Sunday night. So praise the Lord. And thankful Brother Van Horn looked us up, actually, and I appreciate his relationship with us and everything that God is doing with the Wallace Foundation and how God has connected us over these years. So I'm excited to hear from you tonight. Hopefully we got a couple energy drinks in him, and he can come and deliver like he did last night. So Brother Van Horn, if you want to come and preach, we'd love to have you. Give him some love from HBF as he comes to preach to us.
Yeah, amen. It already got me turned on here. I got to see Brother Randy yesterday at the church. It was a blessing to see him and be able to talk with him just a little bit. And Brother Fleshman, good to see you. Amen. Always getting the updates from the work. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it's just a blessing. I love this place. Brother Brian, we first met at Bearing Precious Seed in Milford, Ohio, and our both of our desires for the Word of God and for souls. We don't get to spend a whole lot of time together, but it's just like we've grown up together. It's a blessing always to see you. Amen. I just absolutely love those Bible conferences. I've been able to host several churches in the south over there, below us in the Georgia region, where our church is, and to bring in the Bearing Precious Seed, the Seed Line guys with a trailer that has all the John and Romans, and one little church there in Bowden, Georgia. Actually, it's the church that bought my pickup truck for me, praise the Lord. We put 20,000 of the Eternity books together in about 6.5 or 7 hours. I mean, they were just smoking. So that was a blessing. Right now, we have a container on the water headed to Uganda with about 40,000 copies of the Eternity book, 15,000 full Bibles, a lot of New Testaments, and a pallet full of tracts from Fellowship Track League on the way to Uganda. That's an exciting ministry over there, Brother Gant Morgan. We fixed him up and helped him get a printing press over there, just a small one. He's already printing gospel tracts, printing John and Romans, and so on. And he just sent me a text. He's got a bigger press coming, a four-color press, that they're going to be able to do more right there in Africa. His burden, his passion, is to be able to print the whole Bible sometime right there in Uganda. And he said, Brother, he said, can you help me get a PDF of the Bible? And I said, well, let me just check. And by, I don't know, maybe an hour or two later, Brother Al Braley had released the PDFs for the New Testament, for the full Bible. His kid's like, I don't know what I'd do without you. I said, well, I'll tell you, God will just give you somebody smarter. Amen. I'm thankful for what's going on overseas. Made a voyage, the first maiden voyage to Peru. Oh, my goodness, there's so many things going on in Peru right now that's, it's just wide open. Tarapoto, just a little, they call it out in the jungle there in Peru. And they're going from that little village of Tarapoto, and they're beginning to go out. And it almost looks like America, because they're starting to have these housing developments where a developer will go in and put in roads and then have all these different plots. Now, the difference is, literally, I'm not kidding, the difference is the plots, the buildings are built just about as wide as a piece of masking tape in between them. I mean, you don't do, there's no windows, there's no anything on the sides of these buildings or the backs, because they're literally butted up next to each other. So the only thing they have is the front. It's wild. And of course, their roof lines. But we were able to purchase a piece of land for them, amen, for one of the church buildings. And he's excited. The pastor down there is excited. They have a Brother Nash Descent. He pastored up in Rhode Island for quite a few years, started the Old Fashioned Baptist Church, pastored it for many years, retired, had secular job, retired from the secular job, sold everything he had, and moved to Peru and built this huge, beautiful building, training center, Bible college, just the whole nine yards. It's just fabulous. And the Lord's given him a wonderful group of people that he's already training and doing great work. So we're hooked in with that side of the world now, too, in South America. So it just seems like Lord's letting us be right now pretty much helping on all six habitable continents. It's just amazing. It's just fabulous. It's a joy. I was at a little country church in Ohio just several weeks ago, and the pastors supported us literally for almost all 25 years of our ministry. It's one of those first churches we dropped into and presented the work. They took us on, fell in love with our ministry and our family. And pastor, he said, "Now I want you to do Sunday school class, Brother Van Orn." He says, "And I want you to tell us what we do." He says, "I don't even really know what you do." So I got to get up in front of the Sunday school class, you know, and kind of just explain all the different things, the facets that we're involved in, the eternity projects, just a little bit of everything. And then he said, you know, we were talking a little bit of question and answer stuff. He says, "Where do you find all the money to do this?" And I just looked at the crowd and said, "Well, it's in their pockets." And so this young preacher, they had me do just about a 5-minute presentation. I'd already preached that Wednesday night. They had me do a 5-minute presentation in the Sunday morning service. So we flicked on the big screen, turned on the Eternity website, rethinketernity.com, and clicked on me giving the gospel in Chinese. And I'm saying, you know, it's pretty cool. And man, the people just loved it, to be able to hear the gospel in a different language, and it looks like me giving it. It's incredible. So at the end of the service, this young fella, he's from South Africa, and he's going to Mozambique, which is just a neighboring country right a little bit northeast of him. And they're going to Mozambique. And man, he just was a little fireball. He preached and did a great job. And at the conclusion of the service, the pastor looks over. I was leaving that Sunday morning. We were done with the service. And he said, "Brother Van Orn," he says, "what's your next project? What can we help you with?" And I said, "Well, we're getting ready to ship our container to Uganda this next week. That one's pretty much taken care of." I said, "But our next one, we're going to send a container to Papua New Guinea." And he says, "Oh, okay." He says, "How much will that be?" And I said, $12,000, around $12,000. And he goes, oh, okay. Kind of knocked the wind out of his sails, you know what I mean? And my wife's kind of like, "Elba, Mike, why'd you say so much?" I'm like, "Well, honey, that's what the next project is." Well, we walk out into the lobby, and within 5 minutes, that preacher's coming out with a smile from ear to ear with a check for $12,000 one of his people wrote to cover the container to Papua New Guinea. Yeah, so it's pretty cool what the Lord's doing. I kind of like to think of myself as your eternal investment broker. If you got a bunch of money you want to invest, that your dividends are going to be outside of this world, of course, give right here through this church. There's so much going on, but we can certainly point your funds in a direction that the Lord will give you a great blessing for. Amen. Well, that's enough of that. Let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Ephesians chapter number 3. I'm just going to stay in Ephesians 3 for just a couple minutes. It's really a little bit more of a topical message tonight. I find myself doing a lot of topical messages because I like preaching on soul winning, and I like preaching on all sorts of different things. I will get into an expositional verse by verse on occasion, but I like leaving that up to the pastor, and I just kind of fly in here and get you all fired up. Amen. That's kind of the goal. Boy, I tell you, your eSword, how many of y'all have one of those eSword apps on your phone? Okay. Aren't they fabulous? I mean, you can type in a word or a phrase and find out how many times it's in the Bible. What a tremendous way. If you're wondering, how in the world can I study my Bible? Take your eSword, type in just a phrase. Just type in a phrase or a word, and you'll be amazed. The Bible will tell you how many different times that phrase is used. You can look at all the different ways that it's used and all the different verses it's used in. It's really fabulous. You want a cool study? Do the 3:16s and 17s in the Bible. Those are really fabulous, incredible study. But I looked up the word eternal, and I found this passage in Ephesians chapter number 3, and I'll start in verse number 8. Of course, we know it's the Apostle Paul. And he says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I hope I never get over the fact that God lets me be a preacher. I hope I never get over the privilege of standing before anybody, even a Sunday school teacher, anyone. I'll tell you even this, even a grandma or a grandpa that has the privilege of speaking and teaching to their grandchildren the Word of God, that is an incredible, absolute, amazing blessing that God gives us that privilege. And then he says this, he says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, and created, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, Jesus Christ is the one that spoke the world into existence. It was his breath that did it. All things were created by him. All things were created for him. God the Father put him on a mission. Now go create the world. Amen. And then he realized that one day he'd have to die for that world. And he did. Amen. And then he says this in verse 10. To the intent now that the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to, and here it is, the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, the word eternity, the word eternal, is just in these last years has just driven me. Understanding that we are here for just a speck of time. I mean, just a speck. I remember making fun of my boss when I was about 17 years old. I worked at an NAPA parts store. And he said, man, I got to leave a little bit early. I'm going to my 20th year high school reunion. I said, man, you're an old geezer. I've had 45 of them and never been to one. 45, man, just like that. I graduated in 1979, just like that. Man, where has time gone? Amen. I'm married to a grandma. Amen. We've got 3 grandchildren, and it's just blows. And one of them is a teenager. It's incredible. It's insane. But here we see that Jesus had an eternal purpose, and we all know that. But then the people in Antioch were first called Christians, right? Because they were a picture of Christ. And basically, each one of us has an eternal purpose. Now, tonight, with that said, I want to use one verse, and in verse 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. And I'll give you the title in just a few minutes. I'm going to read that verse, and then I'm going to pray. And then we'll see what the Lord does for us tonight, all right? The Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's a powerful verse. And probably most of you in the room may even already have it memorized. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Father, thank you again for this place. Thank you again for this church, for the Word of God. The privilege, as the Apostle Paul said, to have the grace and the place, the calling to stand and preach for you tonight, Lord. I thank you for it. We'll ask you now, Lord, to help me as I give this thought. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. 36 times the psalmist gives thanks unto the Lord throughout the Psalms. He just... I'll tell you, I've told you many different times that I read through the book of Psalms every month. I love it. 5 chapters a day. You'll go through everything in the book of Psalms. It's amazing. You'll see every emotion that a man or a woman will go through. You'll see and read historical events in there. You'll be encouraged with praise and thanksgiving, and there'll be songs. It's just, it was known as the Jewish hymnal. Amen. And the book of Psalms is just fabulous. The last time is found in Psalm 140, verse 13. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, and the upright shall dwell in his presence. Can I tell you tonight, church, we have the privilege as born-again Bible-believing Christians to dwell in the presence of God everywhere and anywhere we go. Amen. I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 12, where the Bible says that his right hand spans the heavens. Just a little description of God tonight. His right hand spans the heaven. A span is a measurement. So it says that the heavens out there is the distance between God's pinky from there to the end of his thumb. Well, somewhere out there is a galaxy called a quasar that just happens to be 13.3 billion light years away from the planet Earth. Okay, so you know what's that mean? What's 13.3 billion light years? Well, let me help you to understand it. Light travels at the rate of 186,000 miles per second, right at 5.77, I believe, trillion miles per year. So if you could get in a rocket ship, Brother Ron, and start flying at the rate of 186,000 miles per second, 5.77 trillion miles per year, it'd take you 13.3 billion years to fly from the tip of God's little finger to the end of his thumb. You know, and some people think they can lose their salvation. So if you think you can lose your salvation, the Bible says in the book of John that we're in the hand of Jesus, we're in the hand of God, and sealed by the Holy Ghost. Go ahead and hop in a rocket ship and start flying. When you finally get to the end of his little finger, you're going to find the sign that says, all exits have been sealed by the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. You ain't getting out of the salvation of God. And who would want to? That crowd that says you can give it back? Come on, if you've ever really tasted it, who would want to give it back? Amen. So I'm thankful that I can't lose my salvation. Psalm 106:47, the Bible says, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Boy, praising is a whole lot more profitable than pouting. Amen. A whole lot more profitable. Psalm 107 verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of course, we believe that King David penned down these Psalms, since the first 15 verses of Psalms 105 are also found in 1 Chronicles 16:8-22. This Bible is electrifying. So I wanted to see some things where Jesus Christ actually thanked the Father. And I've got a little story after this goes on, and hopefully it'll be a little bit of a blessing to you tonight, and then we'll move on. The first time we see the Father, or Jesus giving thanks to the Father, we see it in the book of John chapter 6 and verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. So Jesus here, he's performing a miracle. He's got a few little fishes and some loaves of bread, and he thanks the Father for the food. And then, of course, miraculously, he was able to distribute all of those blessings to those hungry folks. Now, isn't it wonderful that instead of Jesus just miraculously putting a plate full of food in front of all those people, he just made some baskets and told the disciples, now I want you to join in what we're doing. It's going to blow your mind. These baskets are never going to be empty. And you just go, could you imagine the disciples, the fun they had distributing God's blessings? And we're really afforded that privilege as well to share the blessings of God to those that are around us. The disciples learned that Jesus had full access to the Father and his power. Now, Jesus, I may remind you, was 100% a human being. The seed was placed inside Mary's womb, and he stayed inside that womb, growing and maturing into a child that would come through the birthing canal just like you and I, 9 months. He would come out and rely on mama to feed him. Some folks says, well, I don't know about all that, but the great big God that was able to speak the world into existence is also powerful enough to become one of us and leave the power up into heaven, present the Father a perfect, pure, righteous, sinless, unable to sin, there was no sin in him, a perfect, righteous body to prove to us the closer we walk to God, the more access we have to his power. Amen? And we do have that access to his power. Jesus thanked the Father for the loaves, and then he did it again for the fishes. I love to see people when they go into restaurants. It blesses my heart to see some family, a husband and a wife, or a husband and a whole family and wife with their children, that will literally bow their head and pray before their food. If I witness it, I always walk over and thank them and tell them you're doing a wonderful job magnifying the name of the Lord. They do it publicly, and I'm thankful for it. John saw the location of this miracle on his return back, and was not only reminded of the multiplication of the food, but the Lord brought back the thought of the prayer. Listen to what he says in John 6:23. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. Well, I've got to be careful myself. You get to thinking you're doing some of these things on our own power, and we forget to give thanks to God for the simple things. I have the privilege to drive around in a 2022 GMC pickup truck, and I thank God for it all the time. Put 734,000 miles on the old one. The preacher, one of the fellows up at Bearing Precious Seed, said, "Brother Van Horn, I'm a little bit disappointed in you." He says, "You're not wearing this truck out like you did with that old one." I only had maybe about 25 cases of Bibles in the back of it. And you've seen pictures. Some of y'all have seen pictures of that Chevrolet. Well, I pulled out of here one time with the dragging the ground going all the way across Interstate 70 with a truckload of Bibles. But I thank the Lord for that truck. I thank the Lord for, I ask Him to bless it every time I get, almost every time. It's my habit. Lord, please keep us safe. Please keep this thing mechanically sound. Please keep us safe from any accident. Keep the tires aired up, the engine running, and so on. The second time we see Jesus thanking the Father, He was about to perform His final miracle as a human. In John 11:41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me." Now, may I remind you, Jesus, living in the body of a human being, a man with like passions, a man acquainted with grief, according to the Scriptures, knew that Lazarus was dying. Notes had been sent to Him that says, "Lazarus is sick." Basically, it was a plea. Come heal him, please, quickly. Come heal him. And in His heart, His best friend was dying, and He knew He couldn't go. He had to wait. Why? Because of the eternal purpose of the resurrection of Lazarus, to show to the world the power of the Father. So in His heart, here He is. He gets back. He finally goes there 4 days after. Lazarus has been 4 days. By now he's stinking, they say. And here's Jesus standing at that door, and He says, "Father, thank You that You've heard my prayer." You know, I think He wants us to know that God the Father hears our prayers too. And I believe He wanted the followers to know that the power source was the Father. Was the Father. The same Father in heaven that you and I pray to. The same Father that raised Lazarus is the one that you and I give our requests to and give our praise to. The same one. Now, I think He just also wanted us to know that the Father hears our prayers. But boy, the cleaner the vessel that we give Him, the more that He will react and help us with our trials and answer our prayers. The third time we see Jesus thanking the Father is at the Last Supper. This one rocked my world. In Mark 14:22-24, "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And He said unto them, 'This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many.'" Jesus Christ thanked the Father for Calvary. Isn't that amazing? He was just about to die, and He was thanking the Father that He could fulfill that so you and I could go to heaven. Now the Bible says this in Mark 14:26, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Now, through my studies, it is believed that the hymns that they sang, of course, out of the Jewish hymnal, if you will, were the Psalms from Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. And after I read and studied and found out that that's what is said, believed through Jewish history, that that's exactly the Psalms that they were singing. Go with me tonight to Psalm 113. So here we are. Jesus has just told the disciples I'm going to a cross. They're going to beat me. They're going to ridicule me. They're going to mock me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to nail me to a cross, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to be buried and rose 3 days later. You know, isn't it amazing they watched Jesus do all those miracles? I just would like to think, Brother Brian, that if you and I were back in those days and you and I were following Jesus around, watching him raise people from the dead, doing all those miracles, I would like to think that you and I, okay, on that third morning, we'd be down there at that grave going like this. All right, this is going to be great. The disciples weren't there. They were hiding out somewhere for fear of their lives. We know that the women didn't believe it because they were going down Monday morning to anoint the body, or Sunday morning to anoint the body with oil. They were going to anoint a dead body. Okay, now the only ones I think that really believed it was the priests. Because when those soldiers come up and said, man, he's gone, all of a sudden there's this great big light. And we fell over, knocked out cold, and we woke up and he's gone. And that priest said, don't tell a soul. Tell him that you fell asleep and the disciples came and stole the body. They knew what happened. They knew what happened. But as we know, that crazy lie spread throughout in all the world. And there's still people believing it too. Psalm 113, praise ye the Lord. Oh, praise ye the servants of the Lord. Oh, ye servants of the Lord. Praise, oh, ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Bless ye the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. These are all capital L's. So it's the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost that he's praising. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Amen. I'm not as worried about this election as I should be. This is a very, very important election, and I agree. But you know, God is on the throne, and what's going to happen is going to happen. And it'll have an eternal purpose, and you and I need to not complain, but to use that thing as a launching pad to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen? And that's exactly what we have to do. And then he says this, even in verse 9, he maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. There's not a thing that he can't do, is what he's saying. So then we travel down after the first psalm being a psalm praising God in Psalm 114. We now have a history lesson. And when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from the people of a strange language. Look at the last two verses. Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord. And we're allowed to be we're in his presence today in the house of God. You can't get where he isn't. Just think about the size of that hand. He's everywhere. And he'll help us. He says then, which turned the rock into standing water and the flint into the fountain of waters. He can do anything. So here's Jesus leading the choir. They're singing about praising. They're doing a little bit of a history lesson just to remind them that, look, there's going to be some trials coming your way. But if God can bring water out of a rock, he'll help you through this one too. And then he tears into a Psalm 115. It's a realization of our eternal purpose, if you will. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but thy name give glory for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in heaven. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And that's exactly what he's going to do. Look what he goes on to say. Ye that fear the Lord, in verse 11, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. I can see the choir, those people, probably over 120 of them, singing these psalms out loud as Jesus Christ would lead that choir that evening. He said he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Verse 18, he says, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. You know how we can bless the Lord forevermore? Because he gave us a King James Bible. And he gave us, man, I like the local church that has taken responsibility for the King James Bible and prints it and sends it all over the world. Thank you, Heartland Baptist. Thank you, Bill Milford, Bearing Precious Seed. Thank you, Bible Literature Missionary Foundation. Thank you, Grace Baptist Church and all the other organizations, the local churches that are printing and taking care of this beautiful Bible. I was talking with a lady at the hotel lobby this morning and telling her what we were doing and explained to her that we print the Bible. And I showed her a picture of that Spanish Bible and it just blew her mind. She says, how much do you have in that Bible? I said, right around $3. She's like, you're kidding me. So I gave her the website of Bearing Precious Seed and I'd gone out to my truck. I didn't have anything on me, any literature. She said she was leaving. So I said, I'm still going out to my truck and get a copy of the Eternity Book and one of my business cards because there was another lady around there and one at the counter I was fixing to talk to. And she's sitting there and you know what she's doing? She's looking at the Bearing Precious Seed website. She says, this is fabulous. This is amazing. What God allows us to do with this beautiful Bible right here is spectacular. And then we have a Psalm 116, some of the most incredible verses in Psalm 116. As Jesus would preach and sing this song, he said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. But you know a verse that I've used many different times and so have you to comfort those that have gone on before us? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know, we're down here moaning and groaning and crying because we've lost a loved one. And Jesus is up there saying, welcome home. It's so good to see you. I'm so glad you're here. Well done. Good job. He's having a great time. We're down here sniffing the blues. Amen. We spend more time praying in our prayer meetings, keeping people out of heaven than we do trying to get souls into heaven. Amen. That I did have this much of an energy drink, brother, so there is a little bit going on there tonight. Anyhow, as he would finish that psalm, he would say, in the courts of the Lord, the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Here he is again. Praise the Lord. Jesus is getting ready to go to this horrific kangaroo court, lying on him, spitting on him, beating him, publicly naked, hung shamefully, dying, pierced his side. And he was about to do all that, and here he is, thanking and praising the Father. Psalm 118, or Psalm 117, he says, praise ye the Lord. We got to tell the world, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. We've got the message, we've just got to get it out. But then in the great Psalm 118, Jesus would say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord, those that dwell in his presence, say, his mercy endureth forever. But then we come down to open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord to which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builder has refused is become the headstone of the quarter. Verse 23, this is the Lord's doings. Wow. Everything that happens to you and I, it's not necessarily going to be good, but it has an eternal purpose. And we can thank the Lord for it. He will truly bless us in it. Listen to what he says. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That wasn't November 3rd, 2024. That was the day of Calvary. That was the day of Calvary that Jesus was singing that psalm just shortly before he would enter in to his death, burial, and resurrection. He would say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Those are some pretty hard things that the Lord thanked the Father for. Listen to what he says in verse 28, 27. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light, Bind the sacrifice with cords, even under the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. And the last words of the song that they sang as they left the Last Supper was, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Quite possibly the last phrase. We don't know exactly what he sang, but this is historically what they said he did. Now I want to give you a short little story, and then I want to challenge you, and then we'll pray, and then we'll go back to our houses. I think maybe you've read our last prayer letter or made mention of our last prayer letter. You heard about Paula having this crazy pancreatitis thing with her gallbladder. It passed a stone, got hung up in that little tube in between the two. Excruciating pain for 4 days. Just horrible. We're up in Ohio when it takes place. And here this poor girl is laying in there in this excruciating pain, waiting for that stone to pass. Amen. And here I am with a stack of eternity books, giving one to every single doctor, every single nurse, and buying coffee for the people down there behind the counters and smiling and praising God. And you would think that I didn't care about my wife, but that wasn't the case at all. I'm like, honey, we're here because there's somebody that needs to hear about the gospel. I gave one to a Muslim man standing outside, and he didn't want it. I said, but sir, I said, listen, I said, it's something that I wrote. And because eternity is so long, I just challenge you, please look at it. He said, you wrote it? I said, I did. He said, okay, I'll take it. Okay, so all of these things that she had to go through, which was, and they're gone now, they're done. It came and it passed, right? But it has an eternal purpose. So we had gone through all those things. She was doing quite a bit better. We had driven home. She'd been home now, I think, for about 2 or 3 weeks or something along those lines. So we went ahead with our schedule to go to Pennsylvania and spend about a week out in that region, and then back into Ohio with my dad for another week or so and helping him, and then back home. Well, we get just 3 days or 4 days into this thing, and she has another blow up. I mean, she was just in a lot of pain again. Didn't know what was going on. So we both decided we just need to go home, because if you're going to go back in the hospital, let's do it in Tennessee, where we have our house and our things going. So we got in the car, and that was a Friday. Drove all night long. All night long. Actually, we had a dentist appointment while we were there, so we finished the dentist appointment. It was 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock when we finished, and I drove all the way till about 11, 11:30 that night and got home. So we were home on that Friday, and I said, well, honey, I said, you know, my friend down in Georgia, he's having an ordination service, and I was going to have to miss it. It would blow his mind if I showed up in that. She was starting to feel quite a bit better. She says, well, I feel okay, so you can go ahead and go. We had her family there, so if she had any problems, Josh and his wife could have taken care of it. So I hop in the truck, and I'm thinking to myself, I've got all these churches down there that I'm friends with that I know, and any one of them I dropped into would be a blessing to me and to them. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to go to my home church, my pastor, my sending church. And as I was walking into the service, there's a lady walking across the parking lot. She's just crying. She's just crying. And she comes in and she sits down. The Sunday school class goes on, and she cries clear through the Sunday school class, through the whole thing. And then the pastor, he calls for altar prayer before the service, before the preaching. And she goes up there, and everybody else is up praying like they normally do. They say a short prayer, and everybody's going back. And she's still there praying, and there's another lady there praying with her. And she prays for a while, and then the pastor just goes right into the message and begins to preach. She listens and cries through the message. And then the pastor gives the altar call, and she sat still. She didn't move. And I just kind of watching her. So after a while, there was a lot of folks there at the altar. And I just kind of slipped over into the pew in front of her and began to talk with her. Talk to her about salvation. Talk to her about having her sins forgiven and forgotten. And she was listening, and she's kind of shaking her head. She said, well, really, sir? She said, I'm just kind of mad at the man upstairs right now. And then she would tell me her story. She said, 3 weeks ago, my husband put a gun to his head and blew his brains out in front of me and my husband. And I cannot get that image out of my mind. So I drink myself to a stupor every single night. And I said, ma'am, I said, you're mad at the wrong God. The God that loves you, the God that created this universe, is not the one that caused your husband to do that. That is Satan, the God that hates you and the God that wants you to drink yourself into stupor so that your people, your friends, everybody around you sees you going through this trial with a bottle instead of a Bible. And I began to share with her our testimony with Paula and tried to help her to understand that all things do work together for good to them that love God according to His purpose. And the Lord allowed me to be a help to her and a blessing to her and to an encouragement to her. Well, I would go ahead and go to the ordination service. And the next morning, I'm staying with a good friend of mine, Brother David Taft. And Brother David Taft is also a preacher. And my pastor had asked me to go ahead and stay the week through Wednesday and preach that following Wednesday. So Brother David and I, we were driving around that morning going to get some breakfast. And I said, Brother David, I said, I know I've heard every single story you have. And he's got some wild ones. This dude's from Alabama. I mean, he's the one that gave me that Harley. Amen. This guy's crazy. I said, I know you've heard your story over and over again. I said, but I guess I don't really know the circumstances of what led you to Christ. Who was it? Who were you talking with? And he began to tell me about an old fella that he worked with. And I got his name in here somewhere. He would say, Aubrey Daniels. Aubrey Daniels was his name. He said, Aubrey Daniels was an old man that loved God. He said, he loved the Lord. He'd tell me, I love you, son. He said, Jesus loves you. You need to get your heart right with God. He would begin to tell me that Aubrey made 17 different trips from Hawaii overseas carrying ammunition and supplies for our soldiers during World War II. It was that probably those circumstances that caused his first wife to leave him. So he had a divorce in his past. And then he said, I found my next wife and we married and we had a beautiful child. And he said that child grew to be 21 years old and then cancer came in and got her and she died. And Aubrey Daniels would look at David and said, David, that was the hardest thing I ever had to thank God for. The hardest thing I ever had to thank God for. But then he said, when my wife and I got down on our knees, because in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything has an eternal purpose. He said, David, when my wife and I thanked the Father that He trusted us with that trial. He said He began to use us in a miraculous way. It wasn't much longer, and David followed him to church, and a man of God preaching the gospel, and David ran down that aisle and called on Christ. David would be the man I'd meet in prison. We were preaching together in prison, amen. I remember getting on an airplane one time. Don't let me forget, I'm talking about David being in prison. On an airplane one time, and I sit down beside this picture. I mean, you look up a little old lady in the dictionary, and you find her picture. She's got the little bonnet on her head, a cotton dress. She says, well, what brings you to Florida, Sonny? I said, well, I just got out of prison, ma'am. She goes, oh, you sit over there. I said, no, it's okay. I was preaching. Anyhow, Brother David and I met preaching in prison at a juvenile facility in Walnut Grove, Mississippi. Brother David and I, we were gearheads, liked hot rods, like hunting, liked Harleys. We had a lot of stuff in common. We're just buddies. We're just friends. And Brother David would tell the pastor of my home church, my pastor right now, he would tell him, man, if you want a missionary that's going to get the gospel around the world, he said, you got to have Van Horn. You got to support this guy. And that church, because of his testimony, Brother Ron, took me on for support before they ever met me. It was crazy. And the next thing you know, there's churches all over that little region that have helped me. Because David Taft was won to Christ by a man that had a little girl die of cancer. Amen? You seeing it? And because of all the... He introduced me to the pastor that bought our truck for us. So everything really points back to a lot of the work that I've been able to accomplish for God, for the glory of God. The things that He's doing goes back to a 21-year-old girl dying of cancer. It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy how it works. Well, when he said that, that's when I would go back to the house and I'd spend all morning and afternoon studying for Wednesday night service. And this is when the Lord gave me these thoughts about in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, so I preached this message. What's the hardest thing you've ever asked God for? Use the illustration of my wife's abuse as a child when she was abducted and so on, and talked about the different things, how God has used that and the power of forgiving us, launching us into a worldwide ministry, just helping so many different folks. And then at the conclusion of the service, the altar was filled, and there were several people that came up and began to talk to me. One lady would come up and tell me about all her abuse. She's still in church. I said, "Have you ever thanked God for it?" She said, "I didn't know I really needed to." Another one would come up, and this gal would pour out her heart and tell me all these crazy things that happened to her. She said, "When I was 21 years old, my first husband, I walked into the bedroom just as he had put a 12-gauge shotgun into his stomach and pulled the trigger. He blew his guts out right in front of me." Guess who was the lady kneeling beside little Miss Jennifer in that altar Sunday morning? I said, "Do you know why she was down there praying?" She said, "I don't have a clue." She said, "I told her her husband had just killed herself." She says, "Oh, no." And I said, "Miss Ann, have you ever thanked God for these trials?" "I didn't know I needed to." But she said, "I sure am going to." You see, so here's a lot of things that happened that we could have just done nothing but complain. A dead 21-year-old girl of cancer. A beautiful lady going through a serious 4 days of just excruciating pain, finally getting some relief, then coming home, and we're going off again, and she has to go through it again. So instead of going to Ohio, we come to Tennessee. And because of that excruciating pain, I'm down there at my home church when I should have been somewhere in Ohio. And I'm there to help console this girl. And then I'm in the cab with, are you seeing it? All of these crazy things that we could have done nothing but, why me, God? In his big circle of events, he's out there saying, "Now look, this isn't going to be easy. But if you praise me, if you'll thank me, I'll get you through it." And every once in a while, like he allowed me in that whole situation, every once in a while, he'll let you see the reason. That's when it's really cool. But it's even better when you, by faith for him, you just let him know he's got a reason and trust him for it. So my question to you tonight is, what's the hardest thing you've ever thanked the Lord for? And if you haven't thanked him for it yet, he may have some big plans for that day that you do. Amen? Sometimes it takes a little while. Adam lived 130 years and begat sons of his own likeness after his image, and he called his name Seth. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth, and to Seth, to him there was born a son. He called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. If my calculations are correct, it appears as if it took Adam at least 235 years after he sinned in that garden before he decided to communicate with God again. Don't waste 235 years. Don't waste another minute. Rejoice. I know who I'm talking to tonight. I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd. I know who I'm talking to. But sometimes the Sunday night crowd needs a reminder that in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. David said in Psalm 27, "I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. I say, wait on the Lord." Peter would say in 1 Peter 1:7, "The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." If we'll thank him while we're down here, the psalmist says in Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5, "We'll enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth for all generations." Amen. I hope everybody in this room is saved, and I'm pretty sure that you are. But if you're not, salvation is simple. It's believing the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. God the Son became a man 100%, lived through everything you and I have lived through, was acquainted with grief, was acquainted with pain, suffered, cried. He showed up at Lazarus' funeral and fell down and wept and shared in the grief of his sisters, of Lazarus' sisters, knowing that he could have stopped the grief, but there was no way that he was permitted to. Believing that he lived that sinless life and died on that cross. But most of all, that 3 days later, he busted out of that grave. I think he kicked the devil in the teeth on the way by, Ron. On the way back up. Take that, you low-down hound. I told you I was God. Amen. But then we must be willing that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Boy, just a changed heart and attitude towards anything you think about God and anything you think about your sin. And saying, Lord, life, and take control. And then according to the scripture, when you ask him, he gives it. Amen? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When he said it was finished, he finished the work. And all we got to do is receive it. Amen? Father in heaven, thank you for this church. Thank you for our pastor, Brother Brian, and this leadership. Thank you, Father, for just the privilege and the grace you've bestowed upon us as a church, Lord, for the privilege of telling the world about Christ. Lord, I know this is a hard message. We no doubt in my mind that when that question was posed, people began to ponder about past hurts, things that has caused grief and heartache and pain and suffering. And Lord, I pray that maybe tonight, even when they step away, they go home, Lord, that they will spend some time with you and allow you the privilege to be God. And then, Father, we'll just thank you for it. And we know you'll use those trials for your glory. Thank you for Brother David Taft, good friend of mine. Thank you for Aubrey Daniels, Lord. I'm thankful for him. Thankful for my beautiful wife that puts up with me, Lord, and endures so many things, so many trials, so many heartaches. Thank you for her tonight, Lord. Bless now this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good. I appreciate that, brother, and what a good word. I know I need to hear that, and I know I'm sure somebody in here needs to hear that. So what is the hardest thing you have asked God, thank God for, that you thank God for? And so, and that is a profound question. I don't think Brother Van Horn probably knows about the Lukenbill situation. So I was just sitting there thinking, man, this is a divine sentence. So we praise the Lord for a word fitly spoken. And also, I mean, obviously it's practical to all of us as well. And so, thank you, brother. So we'll go ahead and prepare. Jeremy, can you help me out here? And I normally do this, but I don't want to tarry. I usually divvy these up, but I think we almost got one per person probably tonight. So these are our prayer pieces. So this gets us through the whole prayer list tonight. So if you can just hand those out, that would be great. And if there's any leftovers, I can take them. So, and as Jeremy's passing out the prayer pieces, just a couple reminders. To number one, do what Brother Van Horn said. And if there's something that is too hard for you to give thanks for, you need to do it. And that's I was thinking as he was saying that, as we was praying actually at the end there, you know, the Bible talks about a root of bitterness. And if you don't deal with the bitterness, what happens? It springs up, right? And defiles many. And it's the actual mirror opposite of what we're supposed to be doing, which is being a light, right? And allowing the gospel to go out. And what he was saying, you draw close to God, and basically the holiness, just like we're talking about in the tabernacle this morning, you know, and that's where the power's at, right? Jesus said, all power is given unto me. And then he turns around and gives it to the disciples, the apostles, to go ye therefore and teach all nations. And he says, wait, that power's coming, Pentecost, of course, and then the power comes down, and the Spirit of God indwells the believer. So you've got the power in Christ, but you know what often happens is we allow bitterness and hurt to keep us distant. And so we don't draw near. Just like what a great illustration that was. And then what happens is it hinders the gospel, because this is a big spiritual war that we're in. And so, man, I really appreciate that. That was a word fitly spoken. I would suspect, and I saw this happen last election cycle, hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? But when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. But last cycle of election, I saw brothers that you think they lost their salvation when the election didn't go their way, right? And now, granted, okay, that's a bummer, Summer, but at the end of the day, you cannot allow all of that stuff to keep you from the gospel, right? That's not our purpose. Our purpose is much greater, as I was preaching this morning, right? So stay focused on things above and give thanks in everything, as we were just hearing. And as we think about that, just a couple things I would mention. I got a lot of notes out of that message, brother, so thank you. I'm looking for I made a few about our prayer list for tonight. Okay, yeah, so make sure that we pray for the Lucan bills. And 2 Corinthians 1:4, right? So God allows us to suffer so we can help others in any trial, right? So because of the comfort that we've received from the Lord, just like he was preaching on. And the Lucan bills, of course, their son Robert took his life a week ago last Thursday. So they're bereaved at his loss. So we'll be having the memorial here this Saturday. I didn't announce it really Sunday this morning. I didn't want to announce that, but the memorial will be here and we'll send out some information this week here at HBF, Saturday, visitation at 1:00, service at 2:00. And so, you'll be hearing more about that this week. So, so be in prayer for the Lucan bills. Some of you are like, who are the Lucan bills? They haven't been around in a while. So God has used this. They've been here for the last 2 weeks. And so God knows how to get people's attention. And so, and I don't mean that in any kind of slight to them, but I mean, just be praying for them, because what they really need is to be loved on and received and encouraged in the Lord. And I was visiting with them this morning. And so just pray that God comforts them with the comfort that he has. And man, how is God going to use that to get the gospel where it needs to go? So be praying for that as well, that God is glorified, and it's a Romans 8:28 situation. But obviously, too, that's a very tough situation for Mike and his wife, and as well as the boys. And so he had two younger brothers. So so they're all obviously bereaved at that. Also, Chuck Howe, his father passed away. I'm not sure how much Chuck, you know, is affected by that or not mentally. Emotionally, but that is also Mark Bartlett's, Dottie Bartlett's, that's her husband's stepfather. So I knew that at one time, but forgot about it. And then today I was talking with Mark. So if you heard me mention Mark was in the house, I mentioned he is bereaved. I didn't realize that was Chuck's dad. So that was kind of an oops, because I didn't want to really say anything in front of Chuck, because I'm not sure how he's processing it. But I talked to Mark about it. He thinks it's fine. So, but be praying. Mark thinks that he was a saved man. I don't really know him personally. I know his sister, who used to attend here. She's definitely saved. So be praying for them as they're going to be processing that. And they'll be having funeral arrangements here pretty soon for that. So be praying for Chuck and Mark for that. Also, as you guys know, the mission trip for Monmouth, Maple City, takes off on Saturday, so we need to make sure we lift that up to the Lord. You know, you think, oh, we're going to go to Monmouth, no big deal. But you know what? You don't take anything for granted, and just pray that God's good hands on all of that. Because even on a trip like that, I have seen over the years, it doesn't matter if you're going to Kenya or you're going up to Monmouth, right? You gotta make sure that you're bathing that in prayer. Yes, Ron. All right, praise the Lord. Help. Yeah. Well, we'll get by. If you can just turn it on the old PA system, we'll make it happen. So, I remember our first services, it was Spartan, believe me. So we'll get by. But yeah, thank you. Pray for the AV services, the AV team, as they're at a all time low. And so pray for all the Bibles from this conference that went out. We just had an update on that. That was wonderful. And then I want to let you know that Amy Hendricksman returned to, is this on recording right now? This part needs to be turned off. So we don't do the prayer list on recording. So you can go ahead and terminate that So at any rate, so we'll be praying for them.